We began the meeting this morning by singing, "It is well with my soul." And that song begins this way: "When peace like a river attendeth my way." That's one picture, right? That's one experience. When peace like a river attendeth my way. Isn't that nice? When everything's peaceful and everything's at rest, everything's calm, everything's going well, and we say, "It is well. It's well with my soul." But then the next phrase is, "When sorrows like sea billows roll." Now that's not something that we welcome or necessarily ask for, but sorrows come. Recently, we sang that song in church on a Sunday morning, and after we sang, a brother got up and said, "Can I read something?" And I said, "Yes." You know, you have to be careful, but I usually say yes. And he came up and he read the story behind the song. And I think you know the story behind the song, but it's a song or a story of tragedy, of sorrow. How this man lost his daughters in a shipwreck. And only the wife was spared and saved. "When sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot, you have taught me to say, it is well with my soul." And I thought, you know, we sang about victory this morning, about overcoming, and we enjoy that victory that Jesus gives. But there are times in our experience when we're not always on the mountaintop. Have you found that to be so? Life has a way of leading us and bringing us down into the valley, and things aren't the way we would like them to be always. But it's in those times that God wants to come to us, and he wants to bring us up, he wants to bring us through, he wants to bring us out into the sunlight again. This morning I'd like us to open our Bibles to 1 Samuel chapter 1, and I think it's a story of a woman who was in a very difficult and desperate, dark place. And I'm thankful that the Bible gives us these stories to encourage us, to help us. Life always isn't grand, so to speak. Life isn't always, what did they say, a bed of roses? I don't know if I'd like to sleep in a bed of roses, because there's a lot of thorns on a rose bush. I mean, I think, you know, it doesn't sound very comfortable, but life is not a bed of roses. And so here was this woman who, and just to give a background, I think you know the story, she was childless. And in those days, there was maybe more than one wife in a family, and her rival, so to speak, the other woman that her husband was married to, well, she had a lot of children. And so Hannah felt, "What? Lord, where are you? How come you haven't heard my cry? How come you haven't given me a son?" And it seems the other woman despised her, maybe, and somehow made fun of her. And so she's in this place where she really is powerless to change the situation. It seems it goes on for a number of years. And her husband tries to console her. You always like that, right? And what does he say to her? "Am I not better to you than 10 sons?" And she says, "No." "No, you're not." And so here she is. And what does she do? What does she do? In her desperation, she cries out to God. Silently. She cries out to God silently. All right, let's pick up the story. Verse 9. Maybe we can have... would you like to read a verse? Let's do it that way, right? Cisco, you want to start? Verse 9. 1 Samuel 1, verse 9. Nice and loud.
"So Hannah rose up after they had eaten in the silo, and after they had drunk. Now Eli the priest sat upon a seat by a post of the temple of the Lord.
In her deep anguish, Hannah prayed to the Lord, weeping bitterly.
Then she made a vow and said, O Lord of hosts, if you will indeed block out the affliction of your maidservant and remember me, and not forget your maidservant, but will give your maidservant a male child, then I will give him to the Lord all the days of his life, and no razor shall come upon his head.
And as she kept on praying to the Lord, Eli observed her mouth.
And Eli said to her, how long have you still been drunk? Put your wine away from you.
But Hannah answered, no, my Lord, I am a woman troubled in spirit. I have drunk neither wine nor strong drink, but I have been pouring out my soul before the Lord.
Now regard your maidservant as a wicked, worthless woman, for I have spoken, and so now, out of my great concern and bitter provocation.
Then Eli answered, go in peace, and the God of Israel grant your petition that you have made to him.
Let's read one more, verse 18.
18, she said, may your servant find favor in your eyes. Then she went away and ate something. And her face was no longer downcast.
Okay, let's just stop there a minute. We'll continue in a little bit, but let's just go back. So how would you describe that prayer or her request that she made of God? It was a prayer of what?
Emotional.
Yeah, it came desperate. It came from the very depths of her heart, right? I think it was emotional. It she was being gripped by this situation and didn't know where to turn. And so in that desperation, she cries out to God. It seems as This sort of anguish, I don't know if we always experience anguish. I mean, there are times we are disappointed. There are times we are maybe hurt. But I think the word anguish and bitterness of soul speaks to me of something that's very deep. This was a deep hurt. This was a emotional trauma that she was going through. And I believe she felt she had nowhere else to go. There was no other recourse. And so she goes to God. And she pours out her soul. You see that in verse 15? That's the blanks that you can fill in. I have poured out my soul before the Lord. I mean, have you ever felt like you have a burden on your back, or that, you know, your spirit is just burdened down? Have you ever felt that? You know, I find more and more I hear people use the expression, oh, I'm depressed, or this one is battling depression. You know, I don't know if I heard it that much growing up, and that doesn't mean it wasn't a real thing. I think maybe we had a different name for it, or maybe we didn't have a name for it. People were moody. Or, you know, they had their ups and downs. And yet those things are real, beloved. I mean, we feel those. Those things are real. It's not something, oh, that person's just, you know, they're moody just because they're moody. Or, well, some people are moody because they're moody. But sometimes there are things that weigh upon our spirits. They burden us. And it even changes the way we are, you know what I mean? The way we treat other people, the way we view life, because we have these burdens that we're carrying on our backs, on our hearts. And I think what this prayer says to me, first of all, she says, Lord, remember me. Do you see that? Lord, remember me. Now, the thought there is not that he forgot her name, or do you remember, Lord, who I am? But what she is saying, remember me in the sense that, Lord, remember me and act on my behalf. I don't think this is the first time she prayed. I don't think this is the first time she asked God for a son. And so she's asking God, remember me. Act on my behalf. You know my situation. You see my helplessness. You know the bitterness of my heart. And in that moment, she makes this vow to God. Now again, I'm not... I was going to say, you've heard of people maybe who are in battle, right? And what do they... I think they call it a foxhole. What is it? Conversion? A foxhole prayer, right? You know, in that moment where your life is hanging between, or you feel your life is between life and death. I'm not sure I'm making it out of this. Lord, if you get me out of this situation, you know, I'll do this and such a thing. I think similar to that is what Hannah is doing here. She's at that point where she's willing to you know, Lord, whatever it takes for me to get this answer. And so what's her vow? What does she promise? Lord, if you remember me, I'm going to give that son back to you. I'm going to dedicate that child to you and to your service. Now, in the big picture here, it's again amazing to me. First of all, how God is orchestrating something for his kingdom through this woman. And what is it? What did God need at this time? God needed Samuel. Do you understand that? God needed Samuel. And so who does he find? He finds Hannah. God needed a man of God. God needed a prophet. God needed a spiritual leader for his people. Eli's sons were failing. Not following God. Leading the people of God astray. God needs Samuel. And he finds Hannah. And out of this traumatic desperation or desperate situation, God brings a son who fulfills the will of God for that time. Had he done that in the past? I mean, I think so. I think we could go back to Samson's parents, right? They were chosen. And then you can fast forward and when God... In the fullness of time, when Jesus is to come, who does he find? He finds Mary. He finds Mary. So he finds Hannah. He could trust Hannah with the trial. He could trust Hannah to raise that child for God. He could trust Hannah to fulfill her vow. And so when God leads us maybe through difficult situations, it's not because necessarily we've done something wrong or somehow we're out of God's will. That's not necessarily the case. Maybe God is in wanting to bring you or to bring something about in and through your life for his kingdom and for his glory. And so, Lord, remember me. And that child will be dedicated to you. You see, out of the trials, God wants to bring blessing. Out of the trials, God wants to accomplish his will. She doesn't say, God, you know, you need to give me a child, da da da, I'm gonna, you know, why have you forgotten me? Well, no, Lord, if you will remember me, remember your servant. I'm crying out in bitterness of soul. I'm at the end here. Lord, have your way. I think it's interesting too. The Bible tells us that as she kept praying to the Lord, verse 12, Eli is watching her, you know, and she's moving her lips, her mouth is moving, but there's no words. It's inaudible, right? There's no sound coming out. She's just, in her heart, she's just praying and crying to God. And yet there's no visible or outward sound. So Eli says, stop drinking, you know? What's the matter with you? And she says, no, my Lord, I haven't been drinking. I'm just a woman who is deeply troubled. And how does Eli answer her? And I think this is so important for us to take as a maybe an example. What does Eli say? He says, "Go in peace," verse 17, "and may the God of Israel grant you what you have asked of him." And just, it's a picture to me, again, of how we in the family of God, we can encourage and stand by one another. Now, Eli, he seemed to take the correction, so to speak, you know. He had someone accused her of being drunk. He says, "No, Lord, I'm not drunk. I'm just sorrowful." And immediately he now switches and he says, well, daughter, now go in peace. A word of encouragement for her. Sometimes we don't always know what our brothers and sisters are going through. We shouldn't quickly judge, right? Why is that one acting that way? She didn't say good morning to me this morning. Well, did you say good morning to her? Well, maybe she's going. Let's give one another, what do you want to say, the benefit of a doubt? In Christ's love, can we do that? Is there room for that in the family of God? Rather than quickly judge or criticize, let's be quick to what? Encourage. And say, "Hey, Albie, is everything okay? They're treating you okay in the kitchen? Is this going to be nice? Encourage one another. Go in peace, sister, and may the Lord grant you the petition that you've asked of him." And then you see something changes in her. What changes? It says, well, she responds, "May your servant find favor in your eyes." Then she went her way and ate something, and her face was no longer what? Downcast, sad. So what had taken place? Well, I think two things had happened. Two things had taken place. She had come to God. She had unloaded the burden. She had unloaded her soul. She had poured it out before God, casting all your care upon him, for he what? Cares for you. "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, make your requests known to God." And there's a release that comes when we do that. So she lays the burden down. And then a brother or a sister comes and says, "The Lord's going to answer your prayer. He's heard you." And what does that do for Hannah? It changes the way she views things. She's no longer sad. She's now, what? Free from that burden. Her spirit is free again. Does she have the answer yet? Not yet. She doesn't see it, right? It's not there yet. But she has given it to who? She's turned it over to God. And God has given her a word of assurance through Eli the priest. And now she can return home and no longer be sad. You see, God had what? Given her, what's the word? Hope. Hope. And the story goes on to say she goes home and she conceives a child. An answer to prayer. Let's pick it up at verse 22. She said to her husband, "After the boy is weaned, I will take him and present him before the Lord, and he will live there always." Well, maybe we can pick it up. Verse 23, brother, would you like to read?
"Do what seems best to you," Eglon, the husband, told her. "Stay here until you have weaned him. Only may the Lord make good his word." So the woman stayed at home and nursed her son until she had weaned him.
And when she had weaned him, she took him up with her with three bullocks and one sack of flour and a bottle of wine, and brought him unto the house of the Lord in Silos, and the child was young.
Then they slaughtered the bull and they brought the child to Eli.
So do you remember me? Hannah asked. I am the woman who stood here several years ago praying to the Lord.
For this child I prayed, and the Lord has granted me my petition which I asked of him.
Therefore, I also have lent him to the Lord. As long as he lives, he shall be lent to the Lord. So they worshiped the Lord there.
Hallelujah. I always like that statement, declaration that she made. Her testimony was this: for this child I prayed, and God hath granted me the petition I asked of him. That name Samuel apparently sounds in Hebrew like asked of God. And so for his whole life, that was the testimony. He was the testimony of his mom. I asked him of God. For this boy, for this child, I prayed. And God hath granted me the petition I asked of him. She fulfilled her vow. And God had his Samuel. Yes?
I always wondered what Eli's reaction to that was. Oh, no.
Oh, no? That he had to take care of the boy?
Well, you know, yeah. And have a problem with his kids. I mean, his first reaction. And then I guess Samuel just, you know how a kid can really soften their heart.
Right, right.
So it doesn't take long.
Anyone else with a comment?
We worship God then, together after.
Mm-hmm.
Samuel was the answer to prayer, maybe for both of them.
And when God answers prayer, what should be our response? Yes. Worship. Thanksgiving. Mm-hmm. Anyone else?
I figured it out. I was wondering how Samuel turned out so differently under Eli, because mm-hmm. Eli raised up his own two children. They do such evil, but Samuel turned out so faithful, loyal to God.
Mm-hmm. You have the answer?
I think the Lord knows the right person to choose, and His Holy Spirit direct him all the way he grew up. Protecting him, guiding him.
I don't know if there is a right answer, so I'm sorry I posed it that way, but put you on the spot there, but sorry about that. But I was going to say, and I thought you were going to say, that it was the prayers of his mother. I think there's a power there. Parents, we can pray for our children that they fulfill in the will of God. I mean, it must have been difficult in a measure for Hannah to bring this little boy and to leave him. I mean, it's almost like the thing that God asked of Abraham, right? Abraham is promised a son. 25 years he waits. They have a son, and then God says, now you need to sacrifice that son to me. And it's a similar thing, right? He's the answer. Samuel is the answer to her heart's desire, her prayers, her longings, and now I give him back to the Lord. And yet there's such a blessing in that, isn't that? And we see that in his life, how God kept his hand upon Samuel in the midst of that wickedness that was taking place all around him. And so we have, there's much encouragement in this story. I hope you're encouraged this morning. Are you encouraged? You're encouraged? We can, if you're burdened, well, let's bring our burdens to God. You don't have to carry, you don't pray and then pick the burden back up. When we pray and we put the burden at the cross, so to speak, we leave it there. Yes.
I'm thinking how Eli was such a man of God, but he missaw what was going on with the woman. And how we, even you mentioned it earlier about the judgment and the criticism, how here he is, he's walking mightily with God, but he wasn't God. think that's the lesson for each one of us. We have the opportunity to know God, but we're not God. So I'm sure there was probably a place of repentance for Eli. We don't see an apology, but she was courageous enough in what she was seeking the Lord for to be able to set him straight, which sometimes is a very difficult thing to do when someone is in a position of authority over you to stand for what your truth is. Mm-hmm. Mighty lesson there.
So why is this prayer amazing? Well, I think the thing I'd like you to just remember that prayer, one aspect of prayer, we've touched on many different aspects of prayer, we will, but this aspect is we can just pour out our hearts before God. Just tell him. Just you know, it doesn't have to be in some kind of format, and it doesn't have to be polished, and you don't have to practice your prayer. Just tell it to God. Tell it to Jesus. Just tell him. Tell him how you feel. And he hears us. But where did it come from? It came from the depth of her soul. And I think that's the thing that amazed. That's where it needs to be, beloved. It has to come from the depth of our hearts. I poured out my soul before God. And just didn't say words. I just didn't, because there no words came out of her mouth. But God heard. God heard the cry of her heart, and God will hear the cry of your heart and bring about an answer that brings glory to who? To him. You see, in the end, this whole story is about God answering prayer in a way that brings glory to him. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. There's a song in our books we'll sing in closing. It's entitled, Tell It to Jesus. Tell It to Jesus. He is a friend that's well known. Number 404. And this song has special meaning for us here at camp. Why? I'm just giving you a little bit of history now, right? The hymn writer here, Lorenz, had a cabin right here on Brant Lake. And if you go down on the boat ride, maybe Brother Tom will point it out to you. The property is still there, at the right past the three islands on the left. He had his house and a studio, and he is a historian. This is a true story. You can look it up in the annals of Brant Lake. He was part of the Brant Lake Association, Edmund Lorenz. So, we have his song. Let's sing. Let's stand as we sing.
Alone, tell it. us, tell it to Jesus. Are you anxious? What shall be tomorrow? Tell it to Jesus alone. Tell it to Jesus. Tell it to Jesus. He is a friend that's well known. You've no other such a friend or brother. Tell it to Jesus alone. Are you troubled at the thought of dying? Tell it to Jesus. Tell it to Jesus. For Christ's coming kingdom are you sighing? Tell it to Jesus alone. Tell it to Jesus. Tell it to Jesus. He is a friend that's well known. You've no other such a friend or brother. Tell it to Jesus alone. Hallelujah.
Sister Heidi, would you pray with us, please?
Thank you that you see us where we are and you know what we need.
Yes.
I thank you that you are always ready to hear our prayer and to answer us. And even if the answer isn't immediate, it's on the way, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
We thank you for that. We thank you for that assurance. We thank you for this story this morning. And we thank you that you're with us today. Lord, bless us as we go about our business here or our vacation here. Lord, help us to be reminded. Just tell it to you. We don't have to tell anyone else. We can tell it to you.
Yes, Lord.
You hear us. Thank you for that, Lord. Bless the workers here and bless Brother Philip. Thank you for this message. Amen.
Amen. Amen. God bless you.
Amen.